Well, welcome everyone this evening, those at home, those who are here with us. I hope you're all doing well this evening. Just a few announcements. We do have some changes coming up, so please be aware that the plan is from February on that both church services will be held here in the school hall, and The ministries of a Sunday morning, Awana, the teens Bible study and the adults Bible study will likely also be starting up. Now, it's all happening very quickly, so there's all the ministry leaders getting up to date with all of that. It's very recent decisions, so please be watching your email inboxes. There will be an email that will be coming around, and everybody needs to reply to that email as to their intention of which services they'll be coming to, morning and evening. And even if your intention is not to come, we'd very much like that email to be replied to as well, indicating that your intention is not to come. We do plan to have enough seating for everyone who comes. That shouldn't be a problem. But please indicate what you're planning to do. So Jono will be sending that email around, no doubt early this week, and please be replying to that. I think that's all the most important announcements, but you'll get hear of anything else that you need to as well. If you want to be opening your Bibles, we'll be reading later from Joshua chapter 1. So you can be ready to go for that, Joshua chapter 1. But let's bow our heads and open the service in prayer. Father God, we thank you that we can meet together. Lord, we thank you that we are safe, held in your hands, that there is nothing that can separate us from you. Lord, as we meet tonight here in the hall and spread out as well, we pray that each and every one who is hearing would be listening to your word, praising your name together. And Lord, may we be searching our own hearts where we can grow and be moulded more into your Son's image, we pray. In his name, amen. Those who helped lead in that. I was going to do the time of prayer next, but I may just give you a moment to think of some prayer points that you may have, those who are here. And I'm going to read our Bible passage now from Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. So be thinking of those prayer points if you have any. And let's read from Joshua 1, starting at verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you, nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Amen. And I look forward to hearing what Keith has to bring on that passage soon. It's a great lead on as well from last Sunday night and some of the messages we've been doing.
Well, as we share together, I'd invite you to pray with me as we begin. Our God, we love you. We love your word. And we just thank you that we can meet together in this place. God, we're praying that you would encourage our hearts, that you would move us along in our Christian journey and help us to walk a little bit closer with you as a result of being here tonight. And thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there's many soldiers that are spoken of in the Bible. The one that we want to think about this evening is Joshua. And if you think about it a moment, here in Joshua chapter 1, I'm not sure if he really knew what it was that he had signed up for. What was it that was going to keep him going through the difficulties that he would face? Well, it's never easy to be a successor to a great leader. Moses' fingerprints would have been on everything. And here's Joshua, the new leader. He'd been trained by Moses. He'd been Moses' assistant. And here he is with a new generation facing a new challenge. And it wasn't going to be easy for him. Across the river, there were going to be 31 kings that he had to fight, cities that he had to take. And I find myself asking the question, you know, what is it that carried him through? And the answer, I believe, though I could be wrong, the answer is that Joshua believed in the promises of God. He believed the promises of God. And in Joshua chapter 1, we have this promise and these words that perhaps we've all rested upon at times. Verse 7 and 8 of chapter 1. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Now, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. You know, as I read my Bible, I don't want to just see simply ink on a page, but rather I want to hear the very voice of God. Well, along with this promise here in chapter 1, verse 8, there's an interesting statement. Just come with me across to Joshua chapter 21. Now, Joshua 21, verse 45. And he makes this declaration. He says, "Not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass." Put your finger in that and just probably another page over further, chapter 23. This is the great farewell address. Verse 14, again Joshua says, "Behold, this day I'm going the way of the earth, and you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one word of them has failed." So the thing that impressed Joshua was that God's promises could be trusted. And here we are back in Joshua chapter 1, It explains why it's important for us to believe the promises of God. Now, I don't know what you see when you open your Bible, whether you see a list of do's and a list of don'ts. But when I look at the Bible, I see what God says that it is. It is the word of promise. And whenever God says no, it's because he wants to say yes. Whenever God says no to something, it's because he has something better for us. A temptation is just the devil's offer of something that God wants to do better for us. And so this book is the word of promise. And when we believe the promises of God and act upon them, not just believe them, but to make them a part of who we are and our actions, this will deliver us from the dangers that lurk in the Christian life and in Christian service. And chapter 1 here, there are 5 dangers that we face in Christian service. We face them individually. We face them corporately as a church or collectively as a church. And these are the 5 dangers that I want to speak about tonight and how God's promises help us through. The first is here in the first 3 verses. The first danger is the danger of looking back. After the death of Moses, verse 1 says, "The servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and this people, to the land which I'm giving them, the children of Israel.'" When a great person dies, the tendency is to look back. Moses is dead. Amongst the people, you can almost hear, "Well, what are we going to do now? He's brought us out here. Where do we go from this point?" Moses had led them for 40 years. And thinking of Joshua reminiscing, this is not a slight at you, by the way. But someone has rightly said that the good old days are a mixture of a bad memory and a good imagination. But the people there in the crowd, they would have forgotten that they had brought to Moses stomach ulcers, stress like you wouldn't believe. They complained, they rebelled, they questioned his authority, and now he's dead. And the tendency when a great leader dies is to say, "Well, this is the end. Let's turn around, pack up a gear and go home." But the fact of the matter is that it's true. Moses had stopped talking, but God was still speaking. And I think that it was John Wesley who first said, or at least often said, that God buries his workmen and continues his work. Many of God's saints have gone to glory, but his church still remains. His work still continues. And we need to beware of the danger of looking back. It plagued Israel. No sooner had they left Egypt and they began to look back. There was no food. "Moses, you brought us out here to die. We've got this stuff that comes from heaven, but we miss the onions and garlics and all that stuff back in Egypt. We want to go back." When they were thirsty, "There was no water out here. Let's go back." The danger of looking back. It's not to say that we should ignore the past. In fact, as you look at the book of Joshua, Moses is mentioned 57 times. We can't ignore the past. The past is not an anchor to hold us back, but rather it should be a rudder to as we move forwards. Joshua needed what Moses had said. Joshua needed to remember all that Moses had done. Beware the danger of looking back. We learn from the past, we don't live in the past. Moses is dead, and now God has something new about to happen. The promises of God say, look forward. Look ahead. Look what I'm going to do for you. Claim my promises. Well, the second danger is the danger of standing still. Have a look with me in verses 3 and 4. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. Moses is dead. Now get moving. Move those feet. Every place where you will tread, it will be yours. God said this to Moses. He had actually said this firstly to Abraham back in Genesis chapter 13. Lot and Abraham couldn't get along. They were both very wealthy. And so they decide to go their different ways. And so Lot chooses where he goes, and he made a poor choice. He ended up in Sodom. But Abraham, on the other hand, chose to let God choose. And Genesis 13, verse 14. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, lift up your eyes now and look from the place where you are. Northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. Lift up your eyes and look. Verse 15, for the land which you see, I'll give to your descendants forever, and I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you. Walk through the land. It's yours, Abram. Well, you can see what the problem of standing still is, can't you? And God has given to each ministry an inheritance. It may not be that our ministries will reach every person, every child in this world. Others will minister in other places. We're grateful for them. We pray for them. But we keep going with our work right here. And God says, don't look back. Don't stand still. Keep moving. Keep pressing on. I'm going to open the way for you. I'm going to give you all that you need. Just follow me. The danger of standing still. No ministry, no Christian individual can afford to stand still. It's impossible to embalm a ministry, because our God is a living God. The Word is a living Word. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of life. And where there's life, then there is growth. And where there's growth, there's movement. And so we need to stay away from the mentality that we've arrived. There's nothing else to do. This place here is the greatest and the best that it could possibly ever be. And so we don't want to go from here. Why is it that people stop moving? Well, fear. Fear of the unknown. It's fear that paralyzes. It's fear that immobilizes. But it's faith that says, God, I don't see the way forward, but I trust you. I trust your word. You've promised to be with me. And if Joshua were here tonight, he would say, have confidence. The promise of God is true. He is with us. He is providing for us. And so trust him at his word. Beware the danger of standing still. Well, there is a third danger in Joshua chapter 1. It's the danger of giving up. Verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before you all those days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Verse 5 says. See, it's one thing to step out in faith. We walk by faith. We claim the territory by faith. Abraham, wherever you walk, it's yours. Joshua, wherever you walk, it's yours. I'm giving it to you. But see, the thing is, after you've walked, then you need to learn to stand. Joshua had never read the book of Ephesians before. Now, that's what the book of Ephesians is about. Now, chapters 1, 2, and 3, we're seated with Christ in the heavenlies, our riches in Christ. Chapters 4 and 5, because we have seated with Christ, we're to walk with Christ, we're to walk in love, we're to walk in the Spirit. And then chapter 6, we're told to stand against the enemy. And God's saying to Joshua, you know, you're going to face enemies. There's 31 kings over there. You've got to be able to stand and fight against them and not be afraid. There's times for us to walk, to claim territory. There's times for us to stand. And the wise leader knows the difference between the two. Now, some people are very good at walking but don't know how to stand, and so they lose everything because the devil comes and just takes it away. Others are very good at standing, but they don't like to walk by faith and claim new territory. And so there needs to be a balance. Now, when you have the promises of God, you don't need to look back because the promises look ahead. When you have the promise of God, you don't stand still because you're assured of what it is that God has promised to you. And when you have the promises of God, you can stand firm against the enemy. There's the danger of giving up. Not like the first generation that came out with Moses. They got to that point of decision at Kadesh Barnea. And they saw the giants. They saw the huge walls on the cities. And they looked at themselves and they saw themselves as grasshoppers, as small, going to be squashed by these people. And in their unbelief, they failed. Had they only looked up and seen God and said, our God is a great God and we can trust his promises. Well, maybe you get to the end of the day and you find yourself saying, look, I don't think I can go on any longer. The people I work with are too difficult. Maybe the work is too hard. Maybe you find yourself saying, you know, it's just not worth the trouble. The return is too small for the effort and time that I put in. And yet God says, you know, your work is my work. You work in my strength and my enabling. The results are in my hands. And I'm just looking to you for your faithfulness, to press on. Don't give up. Look at all that I've promised to give you and assist you in this walk, in this work. And Joshua was successful because he believed the promises of God and he was able to stand. Well, the fourth danger here is in verse 6. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. We have here the danger of falling short. If you remember, the book of Joshua is in three parts, generally. You've got the section where they're going to enter the land. Now, the second part is them starting to conquer the land. And then the third part is the claiming the land for inheritance. They're splitting it up, dividing it amongst the tribes. We walk into a city and we say, God, give us this city. We claim the land. And then divide the inheritance. The Christian and the Christian worker is somebody who fights battles. We're involved in a spiritual battle. It's interesting, isn't it, that the book of Hebrews speaks about helping people find this inheritance. And the book of Hebrews says, look, just like Israel of old had an inheritance to claim but didn't claim it because of unbelief, each Christian, each family, each ministry has an inheritance to claim, and it has to be claimed by faith. Paul goes to Corinth, and there's opposition in Corinth, and he could say, well, maybe I should go somewhere else where people are open to the message that I have. And God comes and says to Paul, stay where you are. I have many people in this city. I have an inheritance here. I have a land for you to claim. Don't run away. Don't quit. Believe my promise. The danger of falling short of all that God wants us to have. Joshua didn't, on this side of the Jordan, say, you know what? Here we are. The land looks good. And we should stay right here so we can just look at what the good land is that God has given to us. It was not like that. He says, no, we're crossing the river. And so they cross the river. And they get there. Isn't this wonderful? Now we're in the land. But they didn't stop. See that city? We're going to take it. See that city? We're going to take it. See that one and that one? And they marched and they conquered and they claimed their inheritance. And when all the battles were over, the high priest, Joshua, representatives of each of the tribes, they cast lots and determined where the borders of the tribes were going to be. And so they had their inheritance. And it was then over to the tribes to go to follow through and to basically dispossess everyone else who was in that area so that the inheritance would be completely theirs. And the tribes who did not claim their inheritance had constant trouble until you get to the book of Judges. And you discover that they gave in to those that they did not conquer. They pulled up short. Short of what God had for them. The danger of falling short. To date, it's interesting, isn't it, that Israel has not yet completely occupied the land that God promised to Abraham. Even when the kingdom was at its greatest peak under the rule of Solomon, even at that point in time, they did not yet enjoy all of the land that God had intended for them. There is a day coming, I believe, that when Jesus himself reigning from Jerusalem will fulfill that promise in its entirety. That promise will be fully realized. But not yet, not at this time. If only they had pressed on for all that God had set aside for them. Promises say, don't look back except to say, I gave this promises to Moses, I kept it. Gave this promise to Joshua, I kept it. I give this promise to David, I kept it. And I'm giving this promise to you. You can trust me. Now, you can Google, if you will, how many promises are in the Bible, and you have this wide variety of 300 through to 30,000, and clearly they're not both right. Someone has said that there's about 31,000 verses in the Bible, so that's sort of like not every verse. But you will read that there was a guy who took time. He, on his 27th reading of the Bible, that he decided that he was going to write down every promise as he encountered it. And over 7,000 promises that made from God to man. God is true to his word. We can trust what he says. He's given us this word to help us in this life. The promises say, let's keep moving. There's still something to claim. There's still work to be done. Let's see what we can do in our lifetime and in our service for God. The danger of falling short. And then there's the fifth and the final danger. It's the danger of taking over. Verse 7, 8, and 9. Only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. One of the great dangers is that after having entered the land, entered the inheritance and claimed what God has given, that there's this sense that we have arrived. We're enjoying prosperity. We're enjoying the blessings that God has given. And it's not too far a step to say, you know what, God, I don't need you anymore. The danger of taking over. We start doing it the way that we want to do things. Now we can learn from the past, not to duplicate it, but rather to appreciate it. Now, Joshua certainly was a very capable leader. Twice in the book of Joshua, he took matters into his own hands and he failed. The situation in about chapter 5, somewhere there, maybe chapter 6. It was after chapter 6 because they had got the city of Jericho. The walls had come down. And they're moving on to the little podunk town next. And Ai. And on this occasion, Joshua just says, you know what, take 3,000 men. It's only a small place. You got this. Not knowing what Achan had done at Jericho. And the 3,000 men go up and they are turned to flight. It seems that this small place, they obviously had a problem with being taken over. And ended up chasing them back. 36 people from the men that went up died. And the next thing, Joshua is before God saying, God, what went wrong? It's never happened like this before. We've just walked up to a place and it's like they've just fallen over for us or whatever the case may be. God, you fought for us. And this is where God says to Joshua, you know, I've as good as left you. This sin, this abomination needs to be dealt with. And the second time they went up and they took the city. But Joshua should have gone to God first. Now the second time, the Gibeonites came down acting as though they'd been traveling for such a long time. And again, Joshua didn't go to the Lord and say, God, who are these people? Where are they from? What do you want us to do with them? And he took over and he makes a mistake and he has to spare their enemies. All because he didn't let God show him what to do. And that's dangerous. The danger of taking over. The danger of saying, you know, I know what's best. I got this. Isn't it interesting? In just verse 7 and 8, the number of times that you see the word all, God is looking for complete obedience. Complete submission to his authority. To say, God, yes, you know what's best for me, and I'm okay with that. Beware the danger of taking over. Turn with me over to chapter 5 in Joshua here. Look, in my estimation, this is probably one of the most memorable events in Bible history. Chapter 5, verse 13. It came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. This is just the night before the Battle of Jericho. And Joshua was out doing what every good military leader does. He's out checking things out. And he sees a man. And I like the attitude. Let's find this here. And Joshua went to him and said, are you for us or for our adversaries? Are you on God's side or are you on the enemy's side? It was one or the other. There was not this spectrum that you just pick a place somewhere on the line. You're either for or against. Verse 14, so he said, no, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And so Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take off your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy." And so Joshua did so. Now, Joshua made some interesting discoveries that night. Firstly, he discovered something that he probably already knew, trusting the promises of God, but he wasn't alone. Okay? Leadership is sometimes lonely. Decisions that need to be made, responsibilities carried. Here's Joshua about to lead an army, and maybe he's thinking about, you know, maybe we're going to lose some of the boys in this effort, even though God was on their side. No, Joshua, he wasn't alone. In fact, the commander of the Lord's army was there, right there with him. The second thing that he discovered was that he was only second in command. And it's a great day in the life of a Christian when he or she discovers that they're only second in command. This man said to Joshua, "I'm here as the commander." Joshua says, "You know what? That's all right with me." And he knelt down before them. "You're in charge." And you know, whenever as a Christian we forget that we're second in command, there's always going to be trouble. Something else that Joshua discovered was that the battle had already been won. The story didn't end here at the end of chapter 5. It continues into chapter 6, where the Lord basically says to Joshua, "You know, this gig is pretty well all sewn up right now." And one of the great promises that we enjoy today, Romans chapter 8, is words like, We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We fight not for victory, but from a position of victory. Joshua discovered that he had already won the victory. All he had to do was to learn the strategy. And God doesn't use the same strategy in every place. And it's a big mistake. This is the big mistake of looking back. It worked here, it worked here, and for sure it's going to work there. No, it won't. Things were changing. Joshua entered the land and the manna stopped. God no longer provided the way that he had provided. He said to Joshua, "We've got a whole new way of doing things now." God changes things, and that's okay. The danger of taking over. As we launch into 2021, the face of ministry looks very different from this time 12 months ago. Pre-pandemic, we lived in this bubble thinking that everything was normal. And now suddenly things have changed. Friends, God is still working. He hasn't abandoned us. And tonight he calls us to trust him, to step out in faith, to accomplish the work that he has set for us in this place. Well, we've seen the danger of looking back, the danger of standing still, the danger of giving up, the danger of falling short, and then the greatest danger of taking over. God has equipped us with everything that we need. We have his word. We have his presence with us. And he simply says, "Follow my guide. I'll tell you what to do." And for us, that should be enough. Let it be enough for you and for me. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the encouragement that it brings to be more diligent in studying your word, in knowing the things that you say, that we might hold you to those words because we know they're true. And these are the things that assure us as we step out in faith that you can be trusted, that you're with us, that together with you we can accomplish great things. And it may mean that we need to rethink how we minister to others. But Lord, we want to follow your direction. We humbly look to you for guidance and direction in the things that we need to do. And so we just want to thank you for this time tonight and for your word. And just challenge us as we go from here, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Keith, for that reminder. And having preached last Sunday night, I couldn't help but think back to some of those verses that we read then in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 18, when God established the lands that he promised to Abraham at a time where he had no children and was in no physical capacity to have children, or so it seemed. And to see the continued fulfillment of that in Joshua 1 and verses 3 and 4. What an encouragement. And I want to remind us of just a few things that grabbed my attention during the message. The past should not be an anchor to hold us back, but a rudder to steer us through the future. And God says, "The results are in my hand. I am looking for your faithfulness."